Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. I'm Charlie Arnold. Hope all of you are having a great Wednesday so far. This morning, things have remained rather quiet as far as news goes. But yesterday morning, we woke up to some really devastating and crazy news. It occurred at 1:30 in the morning. Most of us were asleep at that point in time. But we woke up to see video and to hear the devastating story that a huge chunk of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, one of the main thoroughfares, had completely collapsed into the river, sending multiple cars, and they were sent into the water. Six people are now presumed to be dead. They have called off the search as a result of, you know, they exhausted all of their resources. So at this point in time, they are presumed to be dead, which is so sad. I can't even imagine traveling across a bridge and, you know, that being the end of it. But anyways, a cargo ship, what had happened was it was seemingly losing power. Its lights were flickering on and off. You could see it was trying to steer clear of one of the main structures that hold up this bridge, but it was unable to. It also dropped an emergency anchor. Nothing worked. Unfortunately, as you just saw, that whole chunk of the bridge collapsed as a result. Now, Joe Biden took yesterday to offer condolences. He addressed the nation and in his senile state, unfortunately, that we have grown way too accustomed to, he mentioned that he has commuted over the now collapsed bridge many times. Listen to what he said.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times, commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
Oh, Joe. You know, here's the thing. It would be impossible for Biden to travel over the bridge by train because there are no rail lines. But even this being said, Katie, can you please scroll? But even though our president is incapable, at least we have the creme de la creme when it comes to an emergency response from our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, right? Oh, wait. No, we don't. He's more focused on equity, inclusion and made up phenomenons by the left instead of focusing on his actual responsibilities. And if you don't believe me, here's a snippet from his bio on X. It reads this, quote, working to ensure safety and make transportation more equitable while fighting climate change and creating jobs. I did not realize that climate change was a part of the job responsibility by the Department of Transportation. I was unaware, but apparently every governmental position wants to make climate change one of the main platforms and talking points at which they are responsible for, even though climate change does not, in fact, exist. But here's the question. What got Pete Buttigieg hired in the first place for such a prestigious position? I mean, honestly, only one person gets to have it each presidential term. And also, when you look at the budget that this job is responsible for, in excess of $40 billion, this is a very high power position. Well, if you look at his government profile, it says that he lists one of his main accomplishments as the first openly gay person confirmed to serve in a president's cabinet. All right. Well, I guess that's an accomplishment. And Buttigieg, he's taking a very scientific approach to the biggest problems plaguing our transportation system. He has, in fact, found something that we all probably should be paying more attention to, and that is that our roads are, in fact, racist. Listen.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
Roads are racist. I had never heard that before. Who knew? unbelievable. I'm going to stop traveling on roads now because they are, in fact, racist. Listen, Pete Buttigieg, I was somewhat aware of him before he was put into this prestigious position of power. He was the 32nd mayor of South Bend, Indiana. That's the state that I'm from. He served in that position from 2012 to 2020. He earned the nickname Mayor Pete. Obviously very relatable, right? Obviously, you serve as the mayor of a small town in Indiana. Naturally, you should be put into the president's cabinet, right? I mean, it sounds like the job translates pretty well. But listen, we have the first openly gay cabinet member who unfortunately is not quite paving the way for greatness at this point. And it's unfortunate because, listen, I'm not somebody that thinks you should hire based on sexual attributes, but if he is going to be put into a position like this and tout himself as the first openly gay member, then he should probably take his position more seriously because he really could be touted as a trailblazer for the LGBTQ community. But then again, we generally are not accustomed to experiencing such greatness when it comes to DEI hires because they are hired solely to check boxes and not based on their resume or past experiences. Let's look at another example. We have the vice president of our country, Kamala Harris, the first African-American vice president, female vice president. Talk about trailblazing. But the question is, what has she accomplished? In March of 2021, Biden put Kamala in charge of fixing our border crisis. He called her the border czar. But shall we take a look at how that's going? Not well. That's how it's going. Now, seeing the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse yesterday, devastating. And to imagine that Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are in charge of responding from a national level, it's pretty terrifying based on how they've handled disasters and emergencies in the past. But here's the good news. Biden and Mayor Pete won't be in charge of the investigation or future recommendations. So everybody, you can rest a little bit easier this morning knowing the bipartisan National Transportation Safety Board will be in charge instead of this investigation. That's an agency that many say is the most capable and effective agency in the entire federal government. Thank goodness, finally, some good decisions being made around here. And has really, for years now, been taken for granted. They're taking inept and inexperienced politicians out of the equation. And this is encouraging to me and should be to all of you based on what we've seen this administration bumble in recent years. We have definitely seen what happens when this administration enacts new policies at the border, when they flex in doctors' offices and hospitals around the country, or how they've warped teaching in our classrooms. Every single thing they touch turns to complete crap, even in the sports world. And their disgraceful attack on women's sports in Title IX is horrendous. Now, Riley Gaines appeared on Hot Mic yesterday and said this about Democrats and specifically the Biden administration being blinded by politics.
Across the board, across the aisle, we have seen some bipartisan support for what you're trying to accomplish. I think North Carolina may be one of those examples. Has the biggest obstacle been the Biden administration, even though you've seen Democrat support for what you're talking about right now, Riley? Has that been the biggest issue for you so far?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It really has been, at least in terms of Title IX, right? Again, the monumental piece of legislation, the federal civil rights law that ultimately gave women the opportunity to compete and really propagated women far beyond just athletics. You think back to the 1970s, Title IX was a large push in propelling women as a whole, as a sex, forward in the workplace, within our personal relationships. So the Biden administration, really all of our elected leaders, especially at the federal level, this really hasn't been much of a bipartisan issue. At the state level, of course, we've seen states like Alabama. There were 17 Democrats who voted in favor of protecting women's sports. But at the federal level, it's a totally different game. When the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act was introduced in the U.S. House by Representative Greg Stube, it fell entirely on party lines, meaning 219 Republicans voted in favor of protecting women and girls in sports, And all 203, every single last one of them, mothers and fathers of their own young daughters, all 203 Democrats voted in opposition of this, which I think is just perverse. You know, again, especially if they have their own kids, their own daughters. You really mean to tell me that you would be totally fine with your daughter undressing next to a fully grown, fully naked, intact man? I hold this hope in my heart that they don't actually believe that, because if they do, I think there's a separate conversation that needs to be had involving CPS, because that's disgusting, it's perverse, and at that point, you're being a sellout to your own child.
And Riley Gaines witnessed that. She witnessed that at the championships for swimming with Leah Thomas.
Well, unfortunately, I think some of the Democrats do actually believe in that. I think there's a large chunk of them that don't, but of course, their main job, as far as their position is concerned, is just to virtue signal. So I guess we'll never really know which ones believe and which ones don't. But there's a lot of things that do not make sense in the world today, and I, for one, can't figure it out alone. So here to help me make sense of all of it, let's go ahead and bring in the host of Don't At Me, one of my favorite people, truly. I'm so excited to bring him in, Dan Dockich.
Charlie, let's get something clear. You said you don't know if you're for hiring people based on their sexual attributes. I disagree. People that look like you, that look like me, we should be hired for everything. I mean, the beauty and the handsomeness should prevail over any education. It should prevail over any knowledge. I am all, when you got all this, Charlie, you should be hired for everything. That's right. That's what I believe. I'm just kidding, but how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to see you. Listen, Dan, it makes me sad, because when you look at some of the certain positions, like, I'm not for DEI hires at all, in fact. But if there are going to be DEI hires, if you're going to put someone in a position of such power, Kamala Harris, vice president, first female, first African American, if you're going to put Pete Buttigieg, first openly gay cabinet member, hear me out. I at least would love to see them perform really well, so that at least we can say, okay, wow, you put the first female in as vice president. As a female, although I don't necessarily think you were hired for the right reasons, I would love to see you excel, because as a woman, I want that for us women. I want to see women being put in these positions and doing amazing at it, so that it really sets the bar high for other women who strive to be in these same positions of power. But unfortunately, they're put in these positions undeservingly, and then they do absolutely nothing with it. It just feels like an opportunity lost.
Yeah, I don't think Kamala Harris has done any good for women in any way other than have a position. You know, I don't. Full disclosure, my niece, the lovely Allie Dockich, was press secretary for Pete Buttigieg's husband, or I don't know how you, yeah, husband, I guess, Chasen or Chasen, I don't know what the hell his name is, and said they were really nice people. And she enjoyed her time with Buttigieg's husband as his press secretary. Now, I don't know why the transportation guy needs his husband to have a press secretary, but you know what? He did, she did it, and she did a great job. But Buttigieg, I heard you talking earlier, Buttigieg was a bad mayor. They called him Pothole Pete in South Bend. He was a guy that didn't get anything done. People actually protested him, particularly the African-American community. So, you know, it was a deal made. Buttigieg, because of his LGTB, whatever the hell it is, he got some support, a lot of support by the Hollywood crowd. In fact, my niece talked about going to Gwyneth Paltrow's house in a big party. So there was a deal done. He dropped out of the race. They gave him the position of transportation secretary. And look, I don't know what his culpability is in anything. I have no idea. But I know that whatever he does, it doesn't seem to go well, whether it's the mayor of South Bend or now as a transportation secretary, sadly, because it affects a lot of people.
I had no idea that his nickname was Pothole Pete.
Yeah, Pothole Pete. Yeah, he didn't do anything in the city. He was a bad mayor. But you know what? Everybody was afraid to criticize him because he was gay, and that's the world we live in. We don't judge people by the content of their character. We apparently judge them by who they're having sex with. And, you know, back when I was divorced, I wouldn't be judged so well. But now things are good. if we're judging that way. But no, that's Buttigieg was a bad mayor. He was a bad mayor. And you know what? He has ridden this gay thing.
And he was still, plucked out of oblivion and put in the White House.
Because he ran. That's exactly the reason. And Hollywood latched on to him. And, you know, Hollywood means money. Whatever else Hollywood means, it means. But, Charlie, Hollywood means money. And he became a thing for a minute. And then he dropped out and they gave him this job.
Yeah. Well, listen, we talk about people not being hired based for the right reasons, not, you know, having their accomplishments achieved because of character. But, Dan, when I look at you and I consider your character, it makes complete sense why you were just inducted this past week into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I haven't gotten an update on that yet. How was the induction? Did you feel like you received the proper praise? I need a recap.
Oh, man, I had a great time. I had two. When I got inducted, or when they called me, I called my mom. I'm not telling you how old she is. And by the way, my mother, I didn't say anything to my mother and her boyfriend. I allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. So let's get that out. Yeah, I didn't say nothing. I couldn't pull the trigger on that bad boy, Charlie. I just couldn't do it. Yeah, I let them do their thing. Whatever their thing was, I let them do it. They were in the basement.
Yeah,
I was upstairs.
We don't want to know what their thing was. That's not appropriate for this time in the morning. Or ever, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. That's how, whatever your thing is, you go do it. But, you know, it was cool. When I got the call, I called my mom, my family, my kids, all that. And then I called two high school friends that were seniors when I was a junior, and they had no ego. They passed me the ball and, you know, whatever. So I'm pretty much, when I go in, we all go in. And they stayed for a few days at my house. We played golf. We drank too many beers, laughed about stupid stuff. And I just had a ball. I had an absolute ball. I was sad to see him leave on Sunday. It was just, and they're both CEOs of companies. So they're like the kind of dudes that, you know, they just wanted to win. And I wanted to thank them. So they came in and we just had a blast. Thanks for asking.
Wow. Well, I like the caricature. Or is that a caricature? I guess it's not quite. It's more of just a sketch of you and your
horrible,
your large head.
Horrible.
But
horrible. My very large. Wait, look, my parents thought I was, I told you, a waterhead baby. And if you look back in the day, that's not exactly a compliment. So I overcame a big fat head and skinny legs to make the Indiana Hall of Fame. I guess I'm proud of that. There you go.
Well, I'm definitely proud of you again for getting inducted.
You
mentioned that you had been drinking beers with your buddies. Did you by chance try the Tank 7, which I recommended to you last week?
No. No, I tell you why we didn't.
Not yet.
Because I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. Big Red Liquors, where are we at? I went in and I asked because, you know what, we didn't have anything to do other than play golf. And I'm like, look, we're going to have some beers and we're going to laugh. And I got this beer that Charlie said. And if Charlie says it, we do it. And Big Red Liquors didn't have it. So, you know, no.
Okay, but well, that's unfortunate. We're going to have to track it down.
yeah, we had enough, though. It was good.
Okay, well, Dan, there was another member of the family, the Outkick family, who received an honor. Riley Gaines was honored by Outkick founder Clay Travis and the rest of us during Women's History Month for her unrelenting work to protect women's sports. You know, something that unfortunately we need right now. She just laid it out pretty loud and clear. Title IX was created to give women opportunity and to protect their ground. And now they're trying to take it away from them. Why is her common sense, Dan, such a threat to Democrats and the Biden administration? It just seems
votes.
So obvious. And I don't understand the pushback.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, you know my history. My wife's a legend in the world of softball. My stepdaughter was a two-time Ivy League champion playing softball. And they're like, this is crap. You know, my wife is not a pioneer. She's a little bit too young for being a pioneer, but she played for pioneers. She supported them. And she, you know, they don't. support what's going on here with women's sports. You know, Charlie, it's all about pandering. It's all about votes. It's all about, hey, look how inclusive we are, when in fact, we all know that there's nobody less tolerant. There's nobody less inclusive. We've seen it with NBC News this week. You know, if you don't believe what we believe, yes, we don't want you around us. It's all a load of crap. And I got to tell you, as a guy that has a daughter, a stepdaughter, a sister, a mother, an ex-wife, a wife, I can go on, sisters-in-law. If I saw a dude walking into a bathroom, a woman's bathroom, with my daughter or any of those people, I'm walking in right behind. I don't give a damn what people say to me. I don't give a damn if that makes me bad, good, happy, or sad. I am. I'm just telling you, it's wrong for Riley Gaines to have sat there in a locker room with a dude with his business hanging out, yep, and it makes no sense at all. Planet Fitness is doing the same thing. Look, I don't understand even I try to understand the logic of both sides. I really do. So I understand Riley Gaines' logic, but you can't explain to me the logic of this. You can't. You can't explain to me the logic of, if you're a girl transitioning to a boy, you play with the girls. If you're a boy transitioning to a girl, you play with the girls. I'll never understand it. Play them all with the boys and then figure it out. Don't let men in women's locker rooms. That ain't hard. Honest to God. And if that makes me a bad guy, I do much worse things than that to be described as a bad guy. Let's put it that way. But it's crap. It's total crap.
Well, I had two girls on the show yesterday, Dan. One of them being Peyton McNabb. You probably remember her story from in 2022. She was the volleyball player who had the ball spiked in her face by a trans player on the opposite team. And she suffered all types of horrible injuries, neck injury. She got a concussion instantly. And she's still, now here we are a year and a half down the road, and she still is dealing with all types of symptoms that stem from that injury. And she doesn't know if she'll ever truly recover. She has to have like extra test time now in school because her brain won't process information the same way that it used to. I mean, if this story isn't indicative enough of the dangers that exist when you allow men to compete in women's sports, that I'm not sure what are.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this, my wife brought this point up, you know, and I thought it was interesting. Women need to run their own race. Women need to quit comparing themselves to men. That's number one. Well, that's number two. Number one is men need to stay the hell out of women's sports. I feel so stupid saying that. Like, think back to when you were a young girl running around Indy, or I was a young guy running around in Northwest Indiana. You think you had to say, girl, look, I had no problem. Gretchen or Jennifer Wellman, our next door neighbor, she played baseball with us all day. She played baseball with us. She played football. She was great. And then it got to a certain point where she couldn't play anymore. And she didn't want to play anymore. You know what I mean? She went and played softball with her friends. I just don't understand these dudes that think it's okay to do this. I don't. And you know what? I just don't. And if I'm wrong, fine, I'm wrong. Look, nobody, you're not hating, I'm not hating on transgender people. There's no hate here. Just boys should play against boys, girls should play against girls, and if you're transitioning, go play with the boys. That's not hating on anything. That's just common freaking sense, and I can't help you if you don't understand that.
Yeah, and you also mentioned another topic that I wanted to get into with you, Dan. That's the idea of, if you don't agree on something, then it's just not allowed. There can be no idea of healthy debate anymore. We saw an extreme example of that taking place this week because Ronna McDaniel was hired, the former RNC chair, to be a part of the NBC analyst team. And everybody freaked out so much so that suddenly, 5 days after she was hired, she's now been fired from MSNBC. So I think we have a soundbite from that. So let's take a listen to the insanity, and then we'll talk about it.
And to see the essentially unanimous feeling among all the journalists in this building and all the sort of senior staff and all the producers and everybody in this building about this was one thing. But then to see the executives and the leadership hear that and respond to it and be willing to change course based on it, based on their respect for us and hearing what we argued. I have deep respect for that. I do. I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have got something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength. And I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are, that leadership is willing to change on this. And I'm grateful to them. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case.
Okay, first of all, it is about hiring a Republican. And B, the best part of what she said, Dan, is it's a big sign of strength to admit it when you got something wrong. Well, that means that they're the weakest people in the world on this network because they've gotten pretty much everything wrong and never have admitted it. So, I mean, listen, they're probably going to get sued. Ronna McDaniel's already lawyered up. They've already been in breach of her contract. But the fact that they can't even understand why it would make sense to have a dissenting opinion on the network. And let's be quite honest, Dan, Ronna McDaniel isn't some strong Republican voice. I mean, in many senses, people would consider her more of a rhino than anything else.
Yeah, what I read or what I heard was they're blaming they're blaming her for being a bad person. They're saying McDaniel's a bad person. Why? Well, because this is a specific case. That's garbage. Yeah, Bobby Barak has a great tweet. Joy Reid lied about her blog being hacked to save her job, and she promotes lies and racism. Maddow made $40 million in a year because of fame lying about Russian collusion. I mean, all these folks do is lie. They didn't like somebody that didn't think like them. They didn't like somebody that would threaten them. And what a chicken blank operation they are when you give into that. See, I've always said this. Rachel Maddow isn't going to make that kind of money anywhere else. I've said the same thing about like a Kentucky basketball or an Indiana basketball coach. You got to deal from a position of strength. Hey, look, lady, you don't like it. Tough. Deal with it or go. Hey, look, Joy Reid, you don't like it. Tough. Deal with it or go. Producer guy. Dude, you don't like it. Deal with it or go. Your choice, not mine. I hired her. We're going to do this. It's going to be great TV. You either make it great or you go. And you say, that's it. And if everybody wants a bitch, whine, and moan, then bitch, whine, and moan. But at some point, you got to stand up to stupid. I used to tell my players all the time, look, I'm going to let you do your thing. But when you get stupid, I'm going to stand up and straighten it out because I believe you stand up to stupid. And if people are being idiots, then you stand up. And they're clearly being idiots. So I don't understand
how would your
weakness.
Players respond
maybe I'm
to you
wrong.
Saying that? How would your players respond to when you said that? Yeah,
they respected it. Yeah, they're like, I got you, coach, because I didn't have any rules. I'm like, look, don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass the program. Don't embarrass your school or your family. And if you do, then I got to stand up to your stupidity and I got to straighten you out. Don't make me do that. The world is so full of weakness and giving in, and the people you should not give in to are liars like Reed and Maddow and that entire network. That would actually, I think, made it interesting at that network. Now it's the same old racism crap. It's the same old lies that get proven to be true, that get to be proven as lies down the road. It's really believable. I'm not going to say it's unbelievable, Charlie, because it's really believable.
Yeah, I mean, you would think they would want to do something to boost their abysmal ratings, but apparently they just want people to continue not watching. But Dan, you actually just gave me an idea for something I wanted to ask you. Did you ever have an example that you had to make out of one of your players? Like, was there ever a time when you were coaching where one of your players did something extremely stupid and you had to put them back into place or, like, really crack the whip?
Oh, yeah. When I first got to Bowling Green, there was a good player. And, you know, I say, hey, we're going to meet, you know, this time. He'd be late. We're going to meet there. Okay. So I simply said, you're done. It's over. Your career here is done. And his dad, a big old Serbian dude, right? And I'm Serbian. I know the dad's crazy. I know the family. Dad is crazy. He's pissed. He wants to come in and see me, right? I'm like, okay. So I sat behind my desk and I instructed my coaches. My younger coach, strong kid, was right here. My older guy was there. And I said, all right, when the dad comes at me, The older guy, you jump on his back. The guy coming from the side, you tackle him. Because I'm like, we're going to protect me because I'm the head coach. Well, the dad, this big old dude comes in and he starts crying. The dad's bawling. My son's a jackass. Blah, blah, blah. I want him to play for you. I go, I can't do it. I go, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can only give in so much. And we kicked him off, and the group that I had ended up winning the conference championship for the first time in 30 years. So it worked out. And it worked out for the kid. He probably went somewhere else. Hey, but honest to God, Charlie, Double D thought he was going to get his ass kicked by a big Serbian crazy mad dad. Thank goodness he was nice.
Well, we're glad that didn't happen because, Dan, you would have – I mean, your face just wouldn't have looked the same for your big induction.
I know.
And in fact
– I know.
And in fact, I meant to get to this earlier. I want to get to it very quickly. We actually have a very emotional snippet from your induction speech, so I want everyone to take a look at it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And to see the...
I'm going to cry, so just relax. Anyway, I'm going fast. My mother is like, yeah, well, my dad was a principal at Calumet High School, and I wanted a basket on our house. Well, no, you guys won't play. You'll play football and baseball. I came home, never forget. My dad, now he'd probably get arrested for this, but he had the shop class come out and put a basket in our house. And I'm like, can you imagine doing that now? He'd be arrested, child labor laws, and everybody go to jail. Some Me Too stuff probably involved. I don't know. But anyway, so my dad puts it up, and I'll never forget. I love basketball. I ran into that house. My brother went upstairs. I was so happy because the basketballs were downstairs. I ran into that house, got my basketball, ran, and made the first bucket on that basket. And I got to tell you, I remember the day like it was yesterday.
Aw, Dan, that was sweet.
Yeah, I almost cried three times. There's no honor in crying in public. I did. I mean, I'm kind of that kind of soft guy. And I started talking about my buddies, and I started talking about that basket, and I almost started crying. Yeah, well, yeah, what a sissy I am.
So your father initially wanted you to play baseball or football, you said.
Well, no, our empty lot, nobody played basketball in my neighborhood. We all played football. The older kids, we had an empty lot next to our house, so the older kids would play football and we'd play baseball. Nobody had a basketball hoop.
I see.
And I loved, yeah. So my mom didn't think we'd play basketball. She thought it'd be a waste. And honest to God, Charlie, I think I've told you this. I still don't. I'm a very shy person in public. I was very, very shy as a kid. Girls terrified me. I couldn't talk to any girls, even in high school. And so I just shoot hoops, turn on the radio, shoot hoops. But I did have a secret crush on my neighbor girl, and I was always hoping that she would come over and shoot baskets with me, but she never did. So I ended up, you know, going inside saying, oh, maybe she'll come over tomorrow. But she never did. Damn it.
Oh, my. It would have been like your own version of Love and Basketball, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe she did once or twice, but not enough. I couldn't work my magic. Not enough.
Well, speaking of football, Dan, you and I feel like we were ahead of the curve because we talked about this over a month ago. They are now officially changing the kickoff format in the NFL. A lot of people up in arms about it. I think you and I both agreed that we didn't think it was the greatest decision. A lot of people like it, though. Now that we've had a little bit of time to reflect and the decision is now set in stone, have you changed your mind?
Yeah, you know what? I don't care. I want to see what happens. I do think, though, that the kickoff and the punt return are the two most exciting plays in football, the interception return as well. So, but I'm, you know what? I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, basically slow down players from crashing into each other, CTE. I'm cool with it. I just, you know, Charlie, I'm one of those people that is dumb enough to say, all right, well, you guys have thought about this. You've watched 20,000 plays, apparently, or whatever they did. And I just want to see what happens. I'll give the people that make these decisions the benefit of the doubt. And then, you know, I'll complain like the little pain in the ass that I am if it doesn't go well. But I'm willing to say, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand the reason for it. They said that kickoff returns had reached something like 21% in the past however many years, which means that it did lose kind of that the exciting tone that it initially set out to have. But I also, like we had mentioned before, I kind of liked, even if, you know, people were calling, the players were calling fair catch or we didn't see the returns. For me, it was a little bit of a reset moment that I kind of appreciated. So I don't know. I'll have to see how it goes. I'm not a huge fan of watching XFL, and I know that this is mimicking the XFL kickoff returns. So I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see like how it plays out. But I'm not in favor of them changing too many aspects of the game. And I feel like that's the road that we're headed down. Them just trying to change absolutely everything to make the game more exciting. But then on the other hand, to make the game safer, which is kind of in, I guess, is a bit of a conundrum. More exciting versus more safe. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm anxious to get a up close look at it this season. And then, I guess, evaluate more so from there.
Yeah, I mean, you usually have an opinion. I usually have an opinion. And, you know, what are you going
to
do? Hey, I need your opinion on something.
I'm thinking about getting a toupee. So it doesn't matter, right?
I'm thinking about getting a toupee. I'm looking at my head right now. I don't like what I see. Should I go straight or should I go curly haired? Your thoughts. Straight or curly?
I think straight. I'm imagining you. I don't know why, but my first instinct was to tell you to go blonde.
Yes, it goes with my used to be blue eyes. Now they're squinty and red and old. But yeah, I think we're going to go blonde, straight haired. Next week, I'll wear it. I'll have it. And we'll figure it out.
If you actually come on the show with a straight blonde toupee, I will.
Yeah.
I'll just be the happiest person in the world. So I feel like this needs to happen. If only for the one show, I would really appreciate it.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I just need you to promise me you won't fall in love. That's all. You got a boyfriend. I'm married. I just need you to promise me you won't be head over heels in love. You know what I mean? Because it'll be spectacular.
I can make no promises. I'll just leave it at that. We'll see what happens next week when the toupee makes its debut. Yeah. But in the meantime, I know you have a show that you need to get prepared for. Don't at me. Monday through Friday, new episodes dropping every single day. So you've got one of those coming up, well, just about 23 minutes from now here on the Outkick Network. So everyone make sure to be tuning in for that. Dan, you can never get boring. So we can expect more excitement coming from you in just a few minutes. And I want to just thank you once again for coming on the show.
Kidding me? It's the highlight of my week. Next week, it'll look like Fabio. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look like Fabio next week.
I cannot wait. Here. I can't wait.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. See you guys. Bye.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Okay, everyone, well, there's something to be excited about. 1 week from today, Dan, blonde, straight, toupee, right here on Outkick the Morning. So if that doesn't get you excited, riled up on this Wednesday, I'm not really sure what will. But on that note, everyone, thank you so much for being here. You can follow me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and I'll see you tomorrow.